Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today in Columbus. We've gone from State College on Monday to New York on Tuesday to Columbus on Wednesday. And then we'll close out the week, State College Sunbury on Thursday, Friday. That's how we do the show. Richard Sherman. Now, he fulfilled his media obligation yesterday. While Marshawn Lynch gave everybody 6.5 minutes of nothing, Sherman came out and gave 67 minutes of engaging talk yesterday. And the list of questions that Kevin gave me to ask him, forget it.
I'm not surprised.
So a little bit of Richard Sherman from yesterday.
It's not overwhelming, but it's cool, man. It's nice to meet all y'all, man. It's great seeing it on TV. Every time you see things like that, seeing the NFC Championship and then actually playing in it, seeing the Super Bowl, the media day, and then actually being a part of it, it's really a dream come true. It's really, you know, one of those things you never know if it's ever going to happen, but when it happens, you're blessed. I think somebody asked me about Justin Bieber. That was the craziest thing. So,
you can hear it. Everything's a shouted question at this point. So he's trying to weed his way through, so he can, you know, find out what people are asking and so forth. Because he, you know,
listen to your teachers, and so humility. You know, if you don't understand the subject, go back and ask. Wait till you're on or whatever. Really having trouble with it. Don't be afraid to ask questions about things you don't understand. Don't just, you know, brush it off and go by it. Really try to understand it and get them to explain it to you. And the more you understand, the more knowledge you have, the more powerful you'll be. Anytime.
This is Richard Sherman, part of his press conference yesterday. Asked about a variety of things, including how he handled the end of the game against San Francisco on the air with Aaron Andrews.
I think if I had had more time after the game to think things over, it would have been better articulated. Obviously, a lot lower tone, you know, lower volume. It would have been a clearer, more concise message. And I think the criticism would have been less. I think the attention that was put on it would have been a lot less. And I think the way they treated the situation would have been totally different. I definitely think I took something away from my teammates. I definitely think that moment, you know, because the way they covered it, it took the attention away from the interception by Cam Chancellor, the huge run by Marshawn Lynch, the great pass to Jermaine Kearse, the great game by Doug Baldwin, over 100 yards in the NFC Championship when they're calling our receiver, and then even that play. And I think maybe that's me, you know, maybe that's my mistake, or maybe it's the way it's getting covered nowadays. You know, they look for the controversial things. He compares favorably. I think Demaryius Thomas is one of the best receivers in this game, and the way his explosion, the way he catches the football, his timing on the routes, his precision in his route running, and his big play ability. You know, that means something. Showing up in big games and making big plays in big games still counts for something, and he does that week in and week out. Well, I'm going to do my best. You know, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what they pay me for.
And as for facing Peyton Manning,
it's amazing going against somebody you know that's going to be a future first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, it'd be like going against your Brett Favre, your Steve Youngs, your Joe Montanas. You know this guy has done everything you could possibly do in this game and played it at the highest level, multiple MVPs, Super Bowl MVP, and it's really, really, really a humbling experience. It's going to be great.
Now, what's your impression of him?
That's the same guy that was on Fox at the end of the game on last Sunday?
Yep.
You're sure that was the same guy? No, I am
positive it's the same guy.
I saw him on the NFL Network.
I was 5 feet away from him. I can tell you that's the same guy.
I saw him on the NFL Network set, and I think it was even Fox Sports 1 set after the game, and it was the same type of guy you just interviewed there on Media Day as well. This is the perfect example. Richard Sherman's, we'll call it rant, for lack of a better word, at the end of that game in that interview with Aaron Andrews is a perfect example of why the media, including television, needs to respect the cooling off period.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's something else, though. In this year, that's going to be one of the few really real moments we're going to hear from somebody.
Yeah, but I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to Richard Sherman, because now he's being characterized as something he may not be.
Well, he handled it. But you know what? You know how many people I've heard give the same kind of commentary I gave about him last week, where I said, you know what? He has a reputation of being a very intelligent, thoughtful individual. Almost everybody was doing that. Saying that, you know, that is the way he is, an intelligent, thoughtful individual. And I think that there are more people that actually think that about him than how that came off at the end of the game. But let's face it, it was he didn't swear.
No.
It was a real moment. And here's the next part, okay? Michael Crabtree, I will tell you, is not somebody. Have you noticed anybody jumping to Michael Crabtree's defense about what kind of receiver he is?
You know, it's funny. I was talking about that with a friend the other day. No, we haven't. Then no one has mentioned about that. What's Crabtree's reaction to this? I said, I haven't heard anybody talking about either way with Michael Crabtree.
Right. Nobody said a word about him. He is not a well-liked individual in the league. Sherman actually is, but he's not. And and that's something that a lot of people don't realize. Crabtree is not a well-liked guy in the league. Whether it's how he plays or trash talking, whatever it may be. But if you notice, nobody has stepped up and go, "Oh no, he shouldn't say it. Well, he's a great player." Who have you heard call? Now, Jim Harbaugh, of course, has said, look, he's got the best hands he's ever seen. Yeah, he has said that.
That doesn't attest to his personality at all.
Right. Now, you're talking about, obviously, a guy in Crabtree that made the 49ers better. But what's interesting is after Sherman said that, and again, he didn't swear. He didn't. In fact, any word that you can think of that would be even borderline that you wouldn't want to hear on the air, even borderline, he didn't use that. He just said he was sorry, that he was a sorry excuse for a receiver.
Well, let's face it, we were all sitting there with our thumb on the replay button waiting for him to say something to see if Fox was going to be able to blurt it out quick enough or drop it out quick enough. I mean, I'm guilty of that as well.
Right. Right. That's what I found to be very interesting about all that. And I also found nobody came to his defense. Now, you just listen to what he just said from that press conference there. Could you ask for a more articulate, intelligent, well thought out, enthusiastic?
There's a guy that sounds like he likes what he does, he likes playing football,
yeah.
And he also realizes, as you and I have talked about many times, your responsibilities to the fan base as well that pay your salary.
Well, somebody that understands that completely, obviously, is Peyton Manning. And yesterday at Media Day, no one drew more attention than he did. And early on, he talked about former Penn State assistant coach Jim Caldwell, who has now become the head coach of the Detroit Lions, who was Peyton Manning's quarterback coach when he was with the Indianapolis Colts. I remember being with Jim and Jerry Dunn, the three of us, one night at St. Elmo's in Indianapolis, and the three of us had dinner together, and I kidded him, I tell you, dinners with that Manning kid, and he laughed. But that's what people don't realize, and you'll hear when we hear John Fox tomorrow talk about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's coach, okay, he takes coaching. I think there is a misperception that the great players can't be coached or there's no need to coach any longer, and that's not true. And yesterday, Peyton Manning talked about Jim Caldwell getting the Detroit Lions head coaching job, the former Penn State assistant.
Jim Caldwell has meant a great deal to me in my career. I felt like once he got to Indianapolis and became my quarterback's coach, that my game really improved. I felt like it took a step up, and I thought Jim had a great deal to do with that. He and I had a set routine that we try to perform every day in the meeting room, on the practice field with different drills, and I just felt from 2003, really to 2008 when he was the quarterback's coach, I was playing at a high level, and so I was glad to call the Lions on his behalf and share that with him, and share my thoughts of what he might be able to do to help their organization, and I was really happy for him that he got that job. I did not, just called Detroit.
Now for the ride into the sunset.
Yeah, I've been being asked about my legacy since I was about 25 years old, which I'm not sure you can have a legacy when you're 25 years old and or even 37. I thought you had to be like 70 to have a legacy. So I'm not 100% sure what the word even means. I'm still in the middle of my career. Let me rephrase that. I'm down the home stretch of my career, but I'm still in it. It's not over yet, and so it's still playing out. And this has been the second chapter of my career, and it's an exciting chapter. And I'm certainly excited to be back in the Super Bowl, on behalf of the Denver Broncos.
Okay, riding into the sunset, retiring.
Well, in talking to John and talking to some other players, that have played at my age. I think John Elway would still be playing football if he could physically, but and I think based on his words to me that physically he just couldn't do it anymore. It was too hard to practice. It was too hard to play in the games. It was painful, and he just had nothing left to give out there. So that's why he decided to retire. Had he felt better, I believe he would have kept playing. And so I feel a little bit better than I thought I would coming off that surgery a couple years ago. I feel better physically, and I've kind of been sort of rejuvenated playing under a different offense, playing with new receivers. It kind of keeps me stimulated every day, so I'd certainly like to keep playing.
He still has a lot more to do, he says, and he talked about that along the way.
Well, I was entrenched in one offensive system under one culture for 14 years, and so being playing for a new head coach, playing for a new offensive coordinator, and Adam Gase, playing with some new teammates, I'm learning different things about football. And football is a game, especially playing quarterback. If you ever stop learning, that's when you're in trouble. You're constantly learning, and so I've learned a lot these past 2 years. I think that's really that's helped me stay stimulated, stay excited about the game of football.
The big four they would ask him about.
Well, that's what told me our priorities needed to be, and so I think that's good advice. It's always easy to follow those. You can get those mixed up. But I think it's a good game plan for you.
And now he's asked about the message.
I really have not made many comparisons to my teams here in Denver to the teams I played for in Indianapolis. It's there's different types of chemistries and personalities. Yeah, I can make more comparisons from this year's Broncos team to last year's Broncos team. But I was a part of some great teams there in Indianapolis, and the two that played in the Super Bowl were very special. The one that won it was a great group of guys. it's hard to believe, you know, we'll be coming up on a 10-year reunion in just a couple of years, which that does make me feel quite old. I'm not sure you can still be playing and have, and still go to a reunion in the NFL, so maybe that's the time that I should be out of the NFL by then. But, you know, it's funny you ask that because we played the Raiders the last week of the season, and on that day at halftime, they were honoring the 1983 Raiders Super Bowl champs, 30 years from that point. And it really impacted our team. Coach Fox made a point that those guys will always have that bond, no matter where they live and how much hair they've lost, how much weight they've gained. They'll always have that bond. And so Coach Fox made a point that if we were to win it, you know, you'll always have that connection. So I always have that connection with that 2006 Indianapolis team, which is very special to me, and it'd be fun to have that same forever bond with this team. Well, I played in MetLife Stadium this year. I think that helped. Eli and I have talked about it, but I'm glad that we had our team had a chance this year to be a little more familiar with its surroundings.
This is the Afghanistan part here.
I want to tell all the troops. Over there in Afghanistan how much we appreciate what they're doing for our country to protect our freedom. We pray for you every day. Pray for your families. Coach Fox is a former military child, and so he is really talking about the military to our team. And so you are on our minds quite often, and in our thoughts and prayers. So we are praying for you, and Omaha.
That last part was for you, by the way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I've only kind of picked him up, this past year, but he has is truly produced at a high level for us this year. When I signed with Denver in March, you know, all these new rules about you can't throw at the facility until this certain date. So I was there. I was still rehabbing. So Julius was one of the first guys that I started throwing passes to. It was Julius and Eric Decker. We go over to this high school and throw passes. And I remember just the first time throwing to him, I mean, his size just jumps out to you. I mean, this is a 6'5 tight end with broad shoulders, and he could really run. And next thing you know, he gets injured. It was a nagging injury, and he's out for the season. So I only got to see a couple of throwing sessions with him, but what I saw early on, I was impressed with. And so it was exciting to get him back this year. He's just bought in. He has committed himself every day to learning from his tight ends coach, from learning from Adam, to talking to me about things he wants to work on. And I always like that, I guess, being an older player, for a young player that truly wants to be a great player, and I think he does. And if he keeps that up, he will be for a long time. But he's been a big part of why we're here this week.
Yeah. Now this is where it starts to get weird. Okay. I'm going to give you listen.
What's
to this.
That?
This is the strange part where you get weird questions.
This week, I probably won't be there. This week, no, I don't think so. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite housewife? Real Housewives.
I have not had a chance to see either show.
Yeah, that must have been E! Entertainment Television there.
It was. And so, I mean, that's Hank Azaria was there. And of course he does all voices on The Sims. And I'm interviewing a player, whatever, and he sidles up next to me and he listens and all of a sudden he asks, and it's like, I'm thinking to myself, great.
What voice did he use?
The guy. His voice. Oh. His voice. I'm thinking of like, great. Mo's standing next to me. All right. we'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Asbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Head to the bottom of the hour and news. Later in the week, we'll hear from the two coaches, Pete Carroll, John Fox, get their thoughts on the big game coming up on Sunday. I brought back a souvenir for Kevin. You like to collect souvenir pins, right? Like at the Little League World Series?
Absolutely. I have a whole pin case filled with them.
Well, how about a Super Bowl 48 New York, New Jersey pin?
That ain't going to get traded in August up in South Williamsport, I can tell you that.
No. Well, I picked that up for you yesterday. It was laying on the street, but I thought you'd like it.
That's all right. I can scrounge for the best stuff, too.
No, it was just total accident.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio Mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hope at least we gave you some taste of the Super Bowl. Our thanks to Jordan Hill for the time he gave us yesterday, Michael Robinson. And then, of course, the past half hour press conference material from Peyton Manning and Richard Sherman. You are still stunned at the Richard Sherman you heard.
Well, like I said, I saw him in the interview.
Not the same guy, is
yeah.
it?
Well, I saw him in the interview with the Fox Sports guys, and I thought, wow, that's a big difference. But, I mean, I get what you're saying about realism, and you want to catch people in a real moment, and that's what they did. And, yes, he was able to keep it at least verbally under control, that he didn't say anything that they would have to receive an FCC fine for at Fox. But
right. Wasn't even close.
I think you still have to respect, and I think the networks still have to respect a little bit of a cooling off period. And I think that's out of respect for the players themselves who are, you know, not prepared for a question at that particular moment.
Yeah, yes and no. Yes and no. I see exactly what you're saying about the cooling off period. That's for the players' protection.
Right.
But he didn't have to go over and do it. And somebody from the Seahawks should have been with him saying, there's a cooling off period.
Yeah, that's probably right. The Seahawks media people should have said, hey, wait a minute, we need to wait on this.
But there's a euphoria in the moment. So there's a yes and a no. Now, here's the reason why, he shouldn't have done it, okay? Now here's the reason why I think Fox was well within their rights to try to do it, okay? They got 800 million reasons.
Would that be the fee to do the game?
The season, contract, whatever. You know, when you are a media partner, of which a part of that money goes to paying his salary, I think there becomes a different obligation or a different level compared to others who cover it. Yeah, I'm covering the event. I'm part of the event. But as a rights holder, you've invested in the event, which I think allows you to have more latitude. And I've always felt that on the Penn State network with what Penn State does. I'm not going to get into what the Learfield rights fee is. That's irrelevant, but it's not a small number. Learfield does not pay $1.25 to carry Penn State football and basketball. So that after the game, when we ask for a player, number one, we're not going to ambush the player. Everybody knows that. I think I have a 32-year reputation of doing this show, you know, or doing the games, and obviously 3 years. I was the third guy for 8 years, and I did all those post games with Joe for 8 years. Okay, so now you add that to the 15th, going into my 15th season as the play-by-play guy. That's 23 seasons. Okay, and so you develop a reputation that you are not going to ambush anybody, and the players know that already. The players know who I am. That's why I talked about Allen Robinson. That was one of the biggest disappointments for us. We asked over to get him on, and he refused to do it. Now, does it affect how I call a game when he makes it? Absolutely not. I could care less about that. But at the same time, you also feel that, hey, look, you know, as a network, okay, when you invest money in it, hey, Bill O'Brien would only do the postgame show when they won. He wouldn't do the postgame show if they lost. I got a feeling James Franklin, he'll probably do the pregame show, which everybody, Joe and Bill, always did. He'll do the postgame show. Lauren will probably be able to get him at the end of the half. Lauren will probably get him coming out of the half. We'll probably have him at the end of the third quarter.
I was going to say, you'll have him at the end of the third quarter as well when they change ends.
We'll have him, we'll have him, you know, postgame. Well, in fact, he may host the postgame show. I don't know.
He may actually describe a play on the air so that everybody understands what he called as well. Hey, Lauren, come here. I want to describe this last play.
All right. Now, for when it comes to the players, there's no obligation. But for the coach, yeah, there is an obligation. Okay? When you sit there and you hear what a number is for a coach, you've heard James Franklin's numbers. It's been quoted at $4.5 million. Penn State's not paying him $4.5 million. Where do you think the money's coming from? Okay, there's a base salary that Penn State pays him. Now, what that base is, I'm sure they'll release it at some point because they've been putting these contracts online. But what Bill O'Brien's base was, what, $1.8 million? Or something? No, Bill O'Brien's base was $1.6 million at Penn State this past year. It's right there in black and white. You can go online and see it. Well, how do you get the $3.2 million, guys? What Learfield pays him and what Nike pays him. Well, if you're going to be paid to do the Thursday night show, the pregame show, and the postgame show, you should do the Thursday night show, the pregame show, and the postgame show, win or lose. Right? That's part of the obligation. Part of the obligation.
And listen, that so, I take it from me as well on a different level. Those losing postgame shows are not fun either. they're not fun for the guys doing the interview.
Believe me, there's nothing, you don't sit there and go, oh, I can't wait to get my teeth into him. You got to be kidding me. Those are the worst, most uncomfortable ones. Okay. But there is an obligation. So when you're talking about Fox at the end as a rights holder, they have more latitude, in my opinion, than the media does for the simple reason they've paid to be there. They paid for their spot. So I think they have more latitude. And it is, and what he did, which has been talked about ad nauseum by us and everybody else, is going to be one of the few truly real moments of 2014.
Well, it was that.
Where a guy actually told everybody how he felt.
It sure wasn't a line out of Bull Durham where he's teaching him what to say in front of the media. That definitely wasn't on the list of things to say.
Exactly. Now, I mean, these guys gave all, like, you know, real answers and so forth, but you're not going to, you're not going to look at Peyton Manning and say, okay, what weakness do you see there? I mean, Manning knows what weaknesses he sees in the Seattle defense. He's not going to look at you and say, you know, well, Bobby Wagner really is not great in terms of dropping. We may exploit that and so forth. That's a real answer. He's never going to give that answer. He's never going to give the answer. Johnny Trevathan, what do you think about Marshawn Lynch as a pass blocker? Man, I'll tell you, I love when they keep him in to pass block because, you know what, that is not his forte. You kind of relish the opportunity to go against him one-on-one because he's not a good pass blocker. That's a real answer. You're never going to hear that answer.
No.
Never. Okay? Just the way it is.
That's very true.
It also
true.
Has changed what you... I mean, it also changes the questions that you ask because you know you're not going to get certain answers.
Steve, I have to ask you this question today because I heard it talked a lot about. Today on the Dan Patrick Show here on WKOK, but it's been in regular news as well. That's how big of a story it is. But the Northwestern players starting a union movement in college athletics.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very scary thing to me, and I'm wondering, am I not looking at it the right way? Because it makes me really, really nervous.
Well, Kane Coulter is the one leading it. And for one thing, Kane Coulter has personally nothing to gain out of it. He is already graduated from Northwestern. As a matter of fact, he was in the Senior Bowl. He's going to try and make the NFL as a wide receiver. He's the organizer of it. Now, I think there is a general perception that what he is doing is about money. Would that be your general perception?
Well, that was my first thought, yeah, and that's the way I took it was,
right.
This seems like a money grab moment.
And it really isn't if you really sit there and examine what he wants to do. There's certain things in the can they get in, better injury protection? The next part is, what about scholarships? I think a great misnomer for the public when it comes to a scholarship is that when, say, for example, great quarterback Kevin Herr is offered a scholarship. I think then Kevin Herr verbally commits to Penn State and Kevin Herr signs with Penn State. I think the assumption is by everybody up and down the valley that Kevin Herr has himself a 4 or 5 year scholarship. Correct?
You would think so, yes.
But you don't. That scholarship has to be renewed every year. Okay? So if you want to sit there and say, wow, Christian Hackenberg, Kyle. Yeah. No, Christian Hackenberg has to have his scholarship renewed this year. Okay, Zach Zwinek has to have his scholarship renewed this year. DJ Newbill will have to have it renewed this year. Ross Travis will have to have it renewed this year. Maggie Lucas will. So scholarships are all one-year agreements. When coaches change over, it is no guarantee that the new coaching staff is enamored with you, and there are times that where some coaches have, quote, run players off. Not here, but it's happened other places. Or if you are not performing to the level of that scholarship in said coach's opinion, they cannot renew you. Suddenly out of nowhere, great quarterback Kevin Herr didn't pan out, and now he's transferring. Well, that's because he's already been told his scholarship is not going to be renewed by said coach at the school. Thus, your hand is forced. Part of what they are trying to do is not only with injury protection, medical insurance protection, and so forth, but also scholarship protection. It's one thing that I always, one of the many things about Joe that I always admired was that when a guy, quote, didn't pan out athletically. All right? His opinion always was, not happy they didn't pan out athletically. He said, look, we recruited you. We gave the scholarship. He says, we took the risk. And it's not your fault you didn't pan out. So we're not going to penalize you. He didn't run guys. Now, guys didn't come back for their fifth year or that they don't get, but they're allowed to. Jim Maney had a great proposal, in my opinion, when he said, "Look, a scholarship should have some lifetime to it, where down the road, for example, say Kevin Herr decides to go to the pros after his third year in college, but doesn't get his degree. He would have the ability with a scholarship to come back in 5, 10 years, whenever it may be, to finish out that degree and to do it on the dime. Now, to me, that would be in lieu of paying, because, as you know, I am anti-paying college payment. And as a parent who has had to write checks for 5 different children going to college, I can tell you, in no uncertain terms, it is payment. But there are other things that can. I am very much for an athlete staying on scholarship. That once you do recruit him, you can, you know, running him or her, I am dead set against that, unless this is a bad person that is bad in your locker room, and you just can't have that.
But if you choose to leave school early to go to the NFL, shouldn't you have to relinquish the remaining years on your scholarship because you made the choice and not the university?
Well, I'm saying that's something that, if you're talking about all the television money that's coming out right now, there's a lot of money. And, for example, you go out, you leave school, and you end up being a fourth-round pick, and it turns out halfway through the season you hurt your knee and your career's over. You know, I think you're assuming everybody's Peyton Manning here and they're getting $15 million and can pay for it.
Yeah, I see your point. I'm just saying, there's really no. I mean, is there any really risk then for a player to come out? I mean, if he doesn't get drafted, or you know, but you can still go back to. Don't worry, you still have your scholarship available.
Well, there's a risk in anything. Look at the Penn State guys. 91% of them have their degrees, so they don't have to come back.
Not that I don't want to see anybody get their degree. Don't get me wrong, but.
Right. But I'm for that. But these are some of the things I think they're talking about. I think you have to look into it deeper than we want money. That's not completely. Now, unionizing college athletes I'm against. I'm not for his proposal, okay? You're in college. Why should you be unionized? Hey, they're not unionizing the IT kids. You know,
by the way, and the kids playing volleyball don't have a union,
right? So I mean, so I'm not for it. I'm just explaining what he's looking at.
I think the question that brought it up into everybody's mind, including my own, was the comment, and I'm paraphrasing. You know, we want a seat at the table, and I think that's where the money idea comes into play.
Sure. Absolutely, but the seat at the table, believe me, the scholarship renewal thing is very important. Do not discount that, because there is mythology that you have a 4 or 5 year scholarship when you sign. You do not. You have 1 year, and then you get a second year, and then you get a third year, and then you get a fourth year. Okay. I mean, part of Rene Portland's demise at Penn State that really started her down a bad road here was when she told 3 players after an NCAA tournament game that their scholarships were not going to be renewed.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a naive look at it, Steve, but I think if you're offering, as a football team or whatever sport, if you're offering an athlete a scholarship to play and it doesn't pan out, I like Joe's mindset. It's like, hey, listen, that was our fault. You did what you did the best you could. You didn't pan out like we thought you could. Finish your college career.
And I absolutely agree with you. Here's the problem. We're in 2014 now. Fans are too often treating college like pros.
That's very true.
In terms of their mentality. Get rid of the kid. Drop the kid, fire the coach, get rid of the coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no, you're 100% correct.
We are not winning. We got to get rid of him. I'll tell you right now, the heck with him. We need to turn over that roster and get people out of here and get people in here who can play. right? That is the mentality you hear on talk shows. You listen to Paul Feinbaum's show in the South. They act as if these kids are pros. Yeah? And, you know, coaches are getting fired. They're moving around. And players are, you know, going through, and some of them are being told their scholarships are not going to be renewed. But I thought I had one that was going to have me set for 4 years. All right, let's take a break. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Omaha! Omaha! Omaha!
Well, we'll see if you can even hear it on Sunday.
There's no chance that that's not going to be heard on Sunday or something. If it's not Omaha, it'll be something.
They're not playing at home, you know.
You don't think they're going to have it mic'd up to beat the band on that field?
Yeah, you can mic it up, but it doesn't mean you can hear it because they're not playing at home. At home, you can hear it because guess what? Everybody is silent.
Whoa. Time out. You're assuming that there's going to be noise in this stadium from regular fans. No, there aren't going to be many regular fans in this stadium, and the ones that are not going to be sitting close enough to the field.
I mean, Seattle will have about 15,000 fans there, so will Denver. And
yeah, they'll be at the ring around the top of the stadium.
You've never been to that stadium, so
no, I haven't.
You have no idea how close to the field. You are really close to the field everywhere in that stadium. It is amazing how you are on top of the field.
And NFL really, Films will have stadium, him mic'd up, too. You know that.
Oh, I mean, I'm saying the odds of really being at home, they are dead silent when he's doing this.
Right.
Okay? That is not going to be the case on Sunday. I mean, you know, there'll be people trying to yell and scream as he goes through his. That's why, you know, so the road, you can't hear him on the road. This whole Omaha thing came up in the two playoff games. Right? When did you hear him down the stretch?
The first time I heard him was a regular season game, but I think it was a home game as well. I think you're right. I think it was.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
However, we'll see. Listen,
nobody heard him in New England.
Do you want to know how many New England or how many Denver Broncos fans there are? Wait for the first incomplete pass from Wilson. Then you'll know when the crowd goes incomplete.
Yeah. Well. A little bit later in the week, John Fox, Pete Carroll, their press conferences from yesterday. Hope you enjoyed it. I had a good time bringing it to you. Kevin's disappointed. He says, did you have fun? Like, it was a work day.
I don't have fun when I work.
No, I'll have fun tonight.
It would have taken the jaws of life to get me away from Media Day.
No, we walked out and got in the car and drove away. Once you're done, you're done. I mean, you would have stayed?
Till the very last gun.